news today, oh boy.
It's time for Nicole Sandler's What's News from NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
The sentencing recommendation change by the Department of Justice in the case of Roger Stone prompted all four prosecutors on the case to withdraw, one of them leaving government service altogether. And of course, Trump had to weigh in on Twitter, beginning with his attacks on the sentence that immediately preceded the change, continuing into the night and beginning again early Wednesday morning, attacking the judge and praising Attorney General William Barr for the change. Senate Democrats have called on Barr to resign or face impeachment. The House Judiciary Committee announced that the Attorney General has agreed to testify on March 31st. About, quote, the misuse of our criminal justice system for political purposes. Well, I'll believe it when I see it. And why do we have to wait 6 weeks to get testimony from the Attorney General? Just a question. Next stop, Nevada, for the primary race, where Democrats will debate on Wednesday ahead of their caucuses next Saturday. In the wake of the Iowa debacle, Iowa's Democratic Party chairman, Troy Price, has resigned. The Iowa Democratic Party will soon begin a partial re-canvass of voting precincts flagged as having potentially inaccurate results. If there are no major discrepancies found, the party will declare Pete Buttigieg the winner, followed very closely by Bernie Sanders, who actually won the popular vote. Meanwhile, Democratic candidate Michael Bloomberg, who is not on the ballot in Iowa or New Hampshire, is facing a backlash for a 2015 video in which he uses racially charged language to praise New York City's controversial stop and frisk policy. Bloomberg said the comments do not reflect his thinking now or how he led as mayor. Sure. And on Thursday morning, more videos surfaced, this time of Bloomberg in 2008, blaming the financial crisis on the end of the discriminatory practice of redlining.
It all started back when there was a lot of pressure on banks to make loans to everyone. Redlining, if you remember, was the term where banks took whole neighborhoods and said, people in these neighborhoods are poor, they're not going to be able to pay off their mortgages, tell them your salesmen don't go into those areas. And then Congress got involved, as local elected officials as well, and said, oh, that's not fair, these people should be able to get credit. And once you started pushing in that direction, banks started making more and more loans where the credit of the person buying the house wasn't as good as you would like.
Yeah, that's problematic. MSNBC's Mika Brzezinski reported with a straight face the Bloomberg campaign's attempt to explain those comments away.
Bloomberg's presidential campaign has refuted the context of the conversation, claiming that he was instead, quote, saying that something bad, the financial crisis, followed something good, which is the fight against redlining that he was part of as mayor. The campaign said that Bloomberg was attacking predatory lending.
All righty then. Treasury Secretary Steve Mnuchin testified Wednesday before the Senate Judiciary Committee. He was grilled by Oregon Senator Ron Wyden about why Treasury gave Senate Republicans potentially damaging financial information related to former Vice President Joe Biden's son Hunter, but blocked requests from Democrats for Donald Trump's tax returns.
I want to start with what I think is a clear double standard with respect to responding to requests on congressional oversight. The request from the Democratic chair with a firm legal basis was met with nothing but legal foot dragging. The request that came from the Republican chairs got VIP treatment. They got, you know, a response out the door in a flash. So it looks to me like there's a double standard here, and that you all are tipping the scales of congressional oversight. What am I missing, Mr. Secretary?
The House disclosure of tax returns is subject to protections of 26 U.S.C. 6103, which, on the advice of counsel, as we've documented, we had significant concerns. That's very different than, I believe, what you're referring to as SARS requests, which on a bipartisan basis, we have responded to thousands of SARS requests to the committees from both Republicans and Democrats on an equal basis. So as we said, Treasury does not process congressional
requests. Secretary, you are stonewalling about stonewalling. And there
that's really not
is
fair
a
at all.
Real double standard.
Significantly.
Two committee chairs. One gets no response with legal authority. That's the Democrat. The Republican gets a quick response.
Then Senator Sherrod Brown attempted to get Mnuchin to explain why the nomination of former U.S. Attorney Jesse Liu to a Treasury Department post was abruptly pulled on Tuesday, just 2 days before she was scheduled to testify before the Senate.
I got word last night that Jesse Liu, who is... with whom we were going to do a hearing in banking for her nomination, she was inexplicably and suddenly withdrawn by the nomination by the president last night. When did you learn the president was withdrawing the undersecretary of your department?
I believe it was 2 days ago.
2 days ago. Can you tell me why her nomination was withdrawn?
I think you know nominations are at the president's direction, and we don't comment when nominations, as a matter of policy, when nominations are withdrawn, which happened for a variety of different reasons at different times, why that's done.
So you don't have any opinion or knowledge of why she was withdrawn?
Again, what I've said is a matter of policy.
Okay,
the White House
okay.
does not.
I was just going to give you a second chance, Mr. Secretary. Prior to position, you may know this, maybe you don't. I don't know. She was U.S. Attorney for the District of Columbia. She was involved in the cases of three of Mr. Trump's convicted political operatives: Mr. Gates, Mr. Stone, Mr. Flynn. Absent any plausible explanation for his withdrawal of this nomination, even though you claim. I hope you know you're more or less under oath, that you claim to have known it for 2 days. It appears this is another stop on the president's personal retribution tour, an attempt to ensure that she did not come before the banking committee tomorrow to ensure to answer under oath questions about those prosecutorial decisions. When prosecutors scaling back sentencing recommendations on Mr. Flynn, with senior DOJ officials suddenly intervening yesterday to reverse and make more lenient the sentencing recommendation of career prosecutors. Four of them withdrew. One of them actually resigned. It tells us a lot. I mean, this personal retribution, this PR tour for the White House, this personal retribution tour the president's engaged in started with the prayer breakfast of all places, and then the East Room, and then his attacks on Colonel Vindman, mocking his accent. Senator Portman and I work a lot with the Ukrainian community, and I'm proud that so many Ukrainians have called America home, leaving the Soviet regime, and he was serving his country. The president mocks him. It's the unannounced, the surprise, unexplained withdrawal of Jesse Liu, and I would hope you would give an explanation that's the one that counter to the one that everyone assumes, and that is that the president is she's part of the president's personal retribution tour. So I'm hopeful that at either this hearing or later, you will help us and tell us the real reason.
Well, speaking of the Senate, they're set to pass a bipartisan resolution to block Donald Trump's ability to take military action against Iran on Thursday after voting 51-45. With 8 Republicans joining with the Democrats on Wednesday to bring the measure to the floor. Those 8, in case you're counting, are Senators Mike Lee, Rand Paul, Susan Collins, Todd Young, Jerry Moran, Lamar Alexander, Bill Cassidy, and Lisa Murkowski. Trump suggested the resolution was merely an effort by Democrats, quote, to embarrass the Republican Party. Right. Remember Marie Yovanovitch, the former U.S. ambassador to Ukraine who was smeared by Donald Trump during the impeachment inquiry? Well, on Wednesday, she received the Trainer Award at Georgetown University for excellence in diplomacy, a word the president obviously doesn't understand. In accepting the award, Yovanovitch deplored the decline of U.S. diplomatic and moral leadership. In another sign of the growing financial crisis in print journalism, McClatchy, the owner of 30 newspapers, including the Miami Herald, Kansas City Star, Sacramento Bee, and others, has filed for Chapter 11 bankruptcy protection. McClatchy said it plans to stay in business and emerge from bankruptcy in the next few months. A former captain of the Ohio State University wrestling team told members of the Ohio House Civil Justice Committee that Congressman Jim Jordan, of Ohio, was not only aware of allegations of sexual abuse that took place at the university in the 1980s and 90s, but that he begged others to cover up his involvement. And finally, the catastrophic Deepwater Horizon oil spill that ravaged the Gulf of Mexico in 2010 was actually about 30% bigger than originally thought, this according to a new study. Researchers say layers of, quote, invisible and toxic oil that weren't detectable by satellites made the spill much worse than it appeared. This oil was discovered using computer simulations, and the results suggest that satellites and other observation equipment now in use may not be enough to properly determine the magnitude of oil spills. The 2010 spill began after a deadly explosion on a BP-contracted Transocean Limited Deepwater Horizon rig and is considered one of the worst environmental disasters in U.S. history. And that's just a bit of what's news for now. I'm Nicole Sandler. If you appreciate these reports and The Nicole Sandler Show, I hope you'll consider making a contribution. My work is 100% listener-supported, and I can't do it without your help. Find out more at NicoleSandler.com. While you're there, please click on that donate button.